I wish I knew how to begin this morning. They sang that song, and I wonder how that true that is in our lives. Is He really supreme to us? Is He really? I'm very concerned about something. Very concerned. And I'm going to share some things from the Word of God this morning. I want to ask you this morning, serious, very serious. Do you believe the Bible is the final authority on all affairs of man? If you believe that, would you stand up? Let me ask you another question. Do you want to, the best you know how right now, to follow it completely? If you do, just stay standing. If you don't, you can sit down. I'm not going to holler at you. I'm not going to condemn you. And remain standing with this. And if you can't, sit down. Now, a couple of our older ones might not be able to stand anyways. But let me ask you this. If I can show you this morning something from the Word of God that is wrong in your life, are you willing to change it? I am dead serious. Are you willing to change it? If you're not, sit down. This is your testimony to God. I'm willing to change it. I'm willing to change it. Well, if you're standing, you got your Bible in your hand, let me take you to the book of Hebrews this morning. Chapter number 10. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. While you're finding your place, if I decide that every day I'm going to go, let's make this easy, to the Cold Stone ice cream shop, and I say to you, I'm going to go there every day. That's my decision. But Tuesday I don't go. Is my decision true or false? There's an old saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating thereof. What's it mean? It means if I make a decision, if I'm going to change something in my life, then it changes. It changes my practice. Too often our churches, we come and we say, yes, preacher, that's true, but we don't change it. We just keep doing our own thing. We say it, but we don't do it. Interesting. And we call ourselves Christian and say we're followers of Christ. Are you truly this morning a Christian? I don't mean by that you've been saved. You are a Christ one. Interesting thought. Chapter 10, verse number 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. We'll just read two verses. Look down very carefully. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Is that a good thing? And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works. What is the part of speech that follows works? What do we call that punctuation mark? It's a colon. You know, God, when He wrote His Bible, not only inspired the words, but the punctuation. That colon is there for a reason. And what it means is, there's going to be an explanation of this. And so what follows is how we provoke one another unto love and to good works. Notice what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Interesting. But exhorting one another, and notice the next few words, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many, now you can raise your hands, believe that Jesus is coming very soon? By our own testimony, we're living in that last spot. And so much the more. So much the more what? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But as we come together, we might provoke unto love and to good works. We might exhort one another. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Oh God, how we thank You for it. Lord, we say that it is our authority for life. God, as we walk from here, we might walk from here proving it by our walk. Lord, bless and work in hearts and lives abundantly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We also know that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to find a great falling away. I believe we see that. And we find that our churches are facing two tremendous, devastating problems among its members. One is the authority of the Word of God. Does it really matter what God says on a particular subject, or are we going to do it our way no matter what? If God's Word says it another way, and we've always practiced it differently, do we allow the authority of the Scriptures to change our practice? It's a great problem in our churches. The authority of the Scriptures. The other great problem, and it really runs parallel with it, and that is self-satisfaction. Self-satisfaction. Somehow, we have come to the idea that coming to church is for our benefit and for our happiness. You don't find that in the Word of God. Matter of fact, we come to church for other reasons. I believe the biggest thing is God calls us together that we might worship Him. That was an interesting truth. I had it pointed out to me this week, and it's something you see throughout the Word of God. And worship is very often shown with a prostrate individual. In other words, somebody who is in a position, can we say, of confessing their sins. Would that be giving God the glory? Would that be worshiping Him by saying, "Oh God, You have been right all along. I have been wrong. And I'm going to accept the fact that You are right. And I'm repenting of that. And I'm going to go in Your direction from this point on." Would that be worship to God? Wow. So when altar calls made and you sat in your seat and God spoke into your heart, is that worship? Being very, very serious and thoughtful here, Is that worship? Or is worship when we're willing to say, God, You are right. I am wrong. I see that. And by the way, that comes a whole lot as we gather together, because Scripture says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Too often we just provoke each other rather than unto something. And by the way, that does not happen if we are forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It doesn't happen. And so, what do we find? God has a plan for us. God has something for us that He wants to use in our lives that might bring worship to Him, that might bring glory and honor to Him. It's very simple. We go to church and let God speak to our hearts and acknowledge that He is right and that we have been wrong, and let Him have the praise and the glory. And as we do that, we come together, and it's got some purpose with it as well. It's consideration of others. Let us consider one another. Why do we go to church? Is it for us? Oh, it has beneficial aspects for us, but it ought to be as we consider others. It's God's command. It's for exhorting others. Boy, I'll tell you what. When somebody walks in and they got a good word in their heart and their life, and they come in with some joy and some expression of God in their heart, it does something for me. It helps a great deal. And sometimes there's a rebuke, sometimes there's reproof. But whatever it is what? Beneficial. And an interesting thing here is that God says that it ought to increase in the last days. But what happens in far too many lives? It decreases. And may I tell you why? Because of self-satisfaction. Because we want to satisfy not our spirit, but our fleshly demands. In other words, the weekend is fun time. We don't call it Sunday anymore. It ought to be spelled S-O-N. We call it fun day. It's all about having fun. I've heard people come to church with their little kids and say, let's go have fun in Sunday school. Well, it can be fun, but that's not the objective. It's to bring glory and honor to Him. Why do we go to church? These are not in order of importance. I don't know what order they're in. Let me give you this one. It pleases your preacher. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. One of these days, God's going to call me before Him to testify on your behalf or against your behalf as to how you behaved. And I might have to say about some, I really don't know, I didn't see them too often. This or that or the other thing was more important in their lives than God. Or coming and trying to be a blessing to their brethren. It was more about them. By the way, it maintains a good testimony. Your friends, your neighbors, they see you go. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then it says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People see that. People notice those things. I believe also because of the Lord's special presence. Now, I know this morning, if you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God living in you. The Bible says, know you not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. But there is significance as a group. The Bible says also in Matthew, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's a significance there.
Interesting thing. Turn to the book of John with me, please. Chapter number 20. Book of John, chapter 20. And notice with me, verse number 19. Verse number 19. John 20, verse number 19. It says, then the same day at evening. Whoa. This is the first Sunday. Jesus has arisen and he's meeting with his disciples. This is a Sunday evening service. Oh, same day and evening. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. He delivers his peace to them. There is something about when we come together whereby we can experience something together, a peacefulness of God, an expression of our joy. By the way, when we express our joy, nobody hears it. It's not near as good as when somebody can hear it. You know, singing in the shower is one thing, but boy, singing with some people is another. I had the privilege this week to sing with 100 men. Ay, ay, ay. 100 men. Amazing grace. I mean, you got all these voices. My goodness. Jeffy says, it feels like it's bouncing off the walls. It was. It was delightful. Something about that. By the way, this morning, the first song, you've sang it better this morning for the first song than I've seen in weeks. I don't know what the difference was, but maybe it was me. But that's exciting. It's neat. And by the way, when the bell rings, some of you ought to get in sooner so you're not missing half of it. And so they came together on the first day of the week, and Jesus said, peace be unto them. Notice verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They had a special privilege because they came together. He showed them something. And I trust that Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, whatever day we meet, that there is something that is revealed about God. It might not be new, but we need reminded often too. But a revelation of Him. Notice verse number 21. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So the Lord Jesus comes, peace is given to them, and now they receive directions as what they are to do. That's the Great Commission. As my Father sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. They received the Spirit of God. Now, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. But there's something about when there are several people who have the Spirit of God with them, how that seems to multiply, and we sense that. They were given authority to give the gospel. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Listen, when we give the gospel and somebody accepts it, their sins are gone. Amen? We'll get to it after a while, but let me just go there and we'll come back. One of the purposes of the church is that as we come together, we bring some people who are lost. They don't know Christ, their Savior. And they come in and they realize, hey, this is something very important. And my goodness, there's some people there that really care about you and really love you because you brought them. And man, they're excited about you and excited about your friends. And you sit down in the service and you begin to sing. And man, you sing with all the gusto of the world. I mean, of yourself. I shouldn't say of the world. Of your soul. And that's, wow. This must mean something to this guy. And the preacher preaches whatever the sermon might be about. But most time, somewhere in there, like I'm going to do right now, we find out that Jesus died for our sins. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Why did he die? Because he died for my sins. Because the price of my sin is death. But he died for me. That's an amazing thing. You say, well, you're still going to die. My body's not saved yet. Do you understand that? Boy, can I understand it. You understand that, Edna? Yeah. Body hadn't been saved yet. Heard Brother Ron Jones this weekend. Brother Ron, he says, my dad had lost his leg here just recently due to amputation because of diabetes. And he said, my dad just can find humor and everything. He said, yeah, I got one foot in the grave already. I'm going to, the old body's going to die. But my Bible tells me that when I know the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be what? Oh, wow. Isn't that exciting? What's it mean? As soon as this old body dies, you have a funeral. I'm not going to attend my own funeral. You can come. You can play the piano. You can play a duet. You can sing. You can sing. No, I don't want you to preach it. No, you could. Hey, you folks do what you want because I won't be there. I'm going to leave this shell there. Now, the only way that won't happen is if the rapture comes and I'm taken to His presence. And by the way, if that happens, you're not going to be here for my funeral either. Now, if you're saved... I mean, that's exciting. So he died for me so that I won't have to, what, be separated from God for eternity. But he didn't stay dead. He was buried to prove he was dead. And he arose again for our justification. What's that mean? It means that not only did he pay for my sins, but he made it possible because he's in glory for me to go there with him. Wow. But I want you to notice verse something. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was what? Not with them when Jesus came. But when he got with the disciples, they said, we've seen the Lord. Notice what he said in verse 25. But he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. One disciple had gone out and hung himself. That was Judas. He betrayed the Lord. We got 11 left. And now we got 10 who are present when Jesus comes. And we have one disciple. He wasn't there. He skipped. And what did he miss? Did you notice a while ago, they saw the print of the nails, but Thomas didn't. And did you notice this? He would not believe them. He would not believe them until he saw it. Had he not missed, he wouldn't have had to wait a week. Interesting scenario we find. Why do we have church? Well, it's an opportunity to give to missions. On the first day of the week, the Bible says, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. May I say this to you too? Your church needs you. The Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is very important. Husbands, love your own wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord loves your church. And it glorifies God. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Wow. And it's the safest place to be because it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Why should we go to church?
God says to.
How often should we go? I believe that most of you in this room, you'd say, well, God has led me here. God has me here for because I believe He wants me to be. So if God wants you to be here, does that mean that God wants you to do what this church does or to do what other churches do? Let's think. And so if we started at 7 o'clock in the morning and we had 5 services in the morning, what would that mean? No, we're gonna have 5 services. Oh, man. By the way, I heard this week. It's so true. Most people go to church to get out. They go to church to leave. In other words, preacher, you've got 9 more minutes because we're done at 12 o'clock and that's it. If you're not done, I shut you off. A couple of you already have. I'm sorry I was not very polite a while ago, because when I start preaching, there's a couple of you I need to say, good night, have a good rest. Do you know why we do that? Because we don't go to church with the intent to allow God to speak to our hearts. I'll guarantee you, if you were sitting on a hard bench last night in a cold stadium in Michigan, you wouldn't be going to sleep. That's why some of you are sleepy this morning. You say, preacher, it's more interesting there. Why? 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 Why for a child of God who loves God and He saved him from his sins is a pigskin and 22 men more important? Why? Why is it more exciting to us? Interesting thoughts, eh? Man, we can come together and exhort one another. We can come together, be a blessing to each other. We can come together, we can see some good things happen in the lives of others, and we can be a part of that. We can also get instructed from God. And we can have God speak to our hearts. And when God speaks to us and we realize, hey, I'm wrong in this area. Oh, God, forgive me. And we repent and we go in the other direction. God is worshipped. Wow. Too often we come to church unexcited. We come to church, we endure. And we come to church and we come to leave. And we come to church and we leave without ever bringing worship to God. And though we may mentally assent to the things that are said and done, it's not happening here. Because we're too self-absorbed. I'm using a term, we. And even when we come, we get in these ruts. God wants us to come that we might build some family bonds. God wants us to come that we might be instructed in holy living. Teaching is good. Preaching is just a little bit more. Teaching is telling what to do, and preaching saying, do it! Teaching is saying, you ought to do this. And preaching is different. Very similar. Now you can just come up here and just holler, you know, about doing, but it is teaching. Preaching is practical teaching. 95% and perhaps even more of all counsel done in this church is right from this pulpit. By the way, there's got to be an authority from which we preach. What did he say in Hebrews? We ought to come together. How often? Even more as we see the day approaching. Maybe that means we ought to cancel Wednesday night service and go to Tuesday and Thursday night service. You say, oh my goodness, preacher's lost his mind. He thinks I'm going to come those 2 days. He's nuts. Don't get worried, it's not my plan. By the way, when we get instructions, holy living, it's going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to speak to us. It speaks to me. It speaks to you. As God saying, you're wrong on some thoughts. You're wrong in some actions. And we worship Him by saying, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm changing that right now. I'm going to go in the right way. By the way, it allows you to have your gifts used. Do you know every one of you have talents and abilities? The Bible calls them gifts. They're listed in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's some that are listed right there. And those gifts are for the benefit not of you, but for others. Did you know that? They're for the benefit of others. I mean, we got this crowd that's been going on for a number of years now, started way back in the early 1900s. They said, we got the gift of tongues. So you've been taking that and finding some foreign people and you've been telling them the gospel. No. You don't understand, preacher. We are talking in a heavenly language and it's really boosting our soul. So it's really helping the church? Well, they hear us, but they don't understand us. We all get in there, we just... Everybody, you know. By the way, you know how to speak in tongues? Huh? I'm a teacher, okay? This was honestly what happened one time. Not to me. Can you say hot potato? Go ahead. Say it a little louder. Hot potato. All right, faster. Hot potato, hot potato. Faster. Pretty soon you'll be talking in tongues. So you're ridiculing it. Yeah, I am, because the purpose is not for her benefit and for ecstaticness for her. The purpose of tongues was what we find it in Acts, the very first time it was used, that the gospel might be preached to some Jews that were Jerusalem in their native language, because they were from out of the country. They were living in foreign countries. And it gives us 16 different languages there that was being used. And they heard the gospel in their own language. Well, they knew Hebrew too, but it was not their native language. And God had said to them in His Bible that that would be a sign to them. But there's a lot of other gifts. There's a gift of giving. By the way, that's for the benefit of others. And by these gifts, not only do they benefit others, but they teach others. Wow. There's the gift of faith. Now think about that for a minute. Bobby, that's Mary. I get them mixed up. No, I don't really. Mary? Do you have faith? You believe God? Do you think there's folks that have more faith than you? You know what happens? When you see them, that really helps you to believe more. So what has happened? They got a gift of faith. God has somehow allowed them to be able to have a greater faith. That's not for them. It's that we might see, hey, this is what faith. Listen, I look at the Word of God and I see the Apostle Paul and I see the faith he had and how he believed God for things. And that generates and helps me. And Paul says, listen, I'm just like you. I'm no different than you. And I listen to what Paul says, and he's telling the truth. And I begin to believe like Paul. Wow. But how are we going to exercise that when we don't come together? Brethren, when we lay out of the house of God, whatever service is, we're not only hurting ourselves, but we're hurting other people. And we're certainly not testifying to the Lord. And certainly not helping to create an atmosphere for the lost that they might realize, man, this is important to a lot of people. I'll close with this thought. I was in Seattle. Brother Blue had preached. And by the way, I saw a picture of him just last week. Brother Mark Gray was with him. They've been friends for years. And it was just neat to see his picture. Kenny's got ALS, had it for over 12 years. He's supposed to be dead. He's still alive. He gets on his computer and still ministers. Still has a pastor's heart. If you get on his blog, you'll read some interesting stuff. Still fighting the devil with all he's got. By the way, being very effective. Brother Mark says all he can do is go, can I talk? He said, I could barely understand. He said, I could understand him a little bit. He gets on a computer. God's gave him a tool. Remarkable. Wow. He was preaching. Guy comes forward in the service, at the end of the service. He wants to be saved. And I went down there, and somebody walked down the aisle, and I was ready to go help him if I could. And I went down there and I knelt down with him. And some of you all would be doing that, stood and bowing your head, worried that I might be calling upon you. And he, I dealt with him, and he prayed and he asked the Lord to save him. I don't know what impressed me, but after we got done, I said to him, I said, what really caused you? What stuck in your heart? What was it that caused you to get saved? Never forgotten it. He said it was the people in this church who were saying amen when you were preaching. He said, I've been to many church services, but I never heard anybody ever say amen. He said, man, I was looking around, if they said amen, those folks were paying attention to him. He said, I never went to church where people paid attention. But preacher got up and preached. So he said, he said, I thought, man, if it's important to them, it must be important. And he got saved. Huh? That was a commendation to all the people there. One waters, or one plants, another waters, another. That morning, there was seed being planted and a whole lot of people watering it. I mean, it was super growth that morning. It was like throwing fertilizer on there and the sun came up. It's amazing. That's what God wants to do. Amen? Yeah. But there's something happening in our churches. The authority of God's Word is, God says it, and we're going to make up our own mind. We're going to do it our way because we've been doing it that way. It doesn't matter what it is. God says it, and we're going to do it our own way. We taught on child discipline this morning. And the Bible is very specific about using the rod. And we're very specific on how that was to be. And you know, but yet there's people, no, I'm going to do it my way. And so we deal with these things. Are you willing to allow the authority of the Scriptures to change your, not mind,
first the mind, but your practice. Are you willing to allow that to take place? However God's spoken to your heart this morning, whatever it is that you're doing wrong, and God's spoken to your heart about it, are you willing, when that piano begins to play, to walk down the aisle and bend your knee and bow your head and bring worship to God because of it? Or maybe even your seat, just get down on your knees. Maybe you can't even get down on your knees, but you're willing to just do that. And then that worship continues as you have changed. Brother Proud many years ago told me a truth. I've never forgotten it. He says people will do exactly what they want to. When you really want to change, you will. If you really want to stop a habit, you really want to stop doing something, or you really want to start doing something, you can do it. You can do it. See, man, it's so hard. Yeah, the flesh cries out. But who's greater, the flesh or the spirit? Hang on. Which one's stronger in you? We might deal with it tonight, but we find in the book of Galatians, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Interesting thought. We can decide and we can do. Amen? Father, they work in our hearts. But Lord, more than anything, break our side, we might do, we might respond to you. Not with mere words, but with actions. I pray you might work and bless in this time. Lord, I pray also for any in this room may not be saved. Well, I preach primarily to those who know you. Lord, it's really for their purpose that we might be a better testimony to them. We might speak to them about Christ, that we might be able to bring them to the house of God, that they can hear that Jesus does indeed save. That their sin will definitely take them to hell. If they died today, they would split it wide open. Oh God, may they see that truth and receive the gift of God. God, work in hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand.
But do you realize and recognize that if we're not living it, it won't mean a thing to them? Do you realize, Mom and Dad, that if God isn't the one who's given you the directions 24/7, that your children might be the 90% that when they graduate never come back? The reason given is it's not real. It's not real. This is critical stuff we're talking about. And we get real with God and serious with Him. And when God shows us that we've done wrong according to His Word, we're practicing wrong, that we repent and change it. And I mean change it. Not come down week after week bawling and weeping over it because we messed up. Praise the God, we can do that. But we walk out and change it. We have the power to do it. We have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Old Testament saints could change without the power of God. We ought to be able to change with the power of God. Lord God, work in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that these dear folk might understand. These are harsh, hard words today. But they're out of love. God, that I'm concerned. Lord, if we continue the course that we so often take, the end result's going to be horrible. We're seeing it nationally, but we sure don't see it, need to see it as a church or as a family. God, work in hearts. Bless, I pray, as we leave from here. Glorify yourself in all that we see and understand. May we just have our hearts lifted to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.